total chaos. In the world, financial markets, and the NBA and NHL playoff play-in type scenarios. We'll stick to sports for a little bit here as we kick the week off on the Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL Radio. I took my two youngest kids to see their very first Boston Celtics game yesterday. Took the tee in. Gave them that experience for the first time. Why not? You can't pay for parking anymore with cash. I've learned this. I haven't been in there in 5 to 10 years to park to the tee. You gotta used to, back in the day, pull in. There'd be a dude sitting in the shed area or whatever it was. They would take your money, give you the ticket, go on in. Nowadays, there's no dude in the shed. There's no shed. You park, and you need to scan a code or something to seat yourself, park yourself, whatever it is. They don't need people to do those jobs anymore. We got the machines. We got the technology. And it was a little confusing to this old guy going in there. It took me 15 minutes. Had to have my two young kids. Stay near the car. Stay here. Because we had gotten outside thinking it was going to be easy. No, not easy. But we found our way in. Made the train. Got in. Watched the game. And something occurred to me during the game. And it occurred to me really over the entirety of the weekend with the Celtics and how great our record is. I mean, we've been incredible all season long. Got the best record in the NBA. Regular season comes to the close yesterday. Celtics win yet again by 10. And the Wizards team that was out there, I mean, I said 3 or 4 times while I was in the stands, wow, they are horrible. Like, the Washington Wizards team that was out there on that court yesterday was so bad. Their defensive technique was horrible. Their hustle was lacking. They're just an awful team. But our Celtics, 64-18. We've been great all year. 64-18. Next closest in the East are the Knicks. Turns out to get the number 2 seed. They're 50-32. That's 14 games behind the Celtics. And even in the Western Conference, the number 1 seed out there, Oklahoma City Thunder, which was pretty crazy what happened this weekend, Denver, I guess maybe wanted to be the number 2 seed. I don't know. Who knows why that played out the way that it did. But both Denver and Oklahoma City got 57 wins, which is 7 less than the Celtics. 7 games clear of anybody else in the NBA. And I'm thinking this to myself as I watch the game yesterday, and the Celtics beat Washington 132 to 122 with all our backups in there. And we had been up by like 20 at some point. Peyton Pritchard was just going off. That was awesome. But I'm like, you know something? Maybe these other NBA teams just all really stink. And that's why the Celtics record is so good, because we are so deep. Brad Stevens has put together one heck of an amazing roster. So much talent on this team. Going back, like I said, Peyton Pritchard is our, what, 7th, 8th guy? I mean, Al Horford would be 6th. So Pritchard, probably 7th, maybe 8th. He had 34 points yesterday, I think. I think he had 11 or 12 assists. He was only a couple rebounds or one rebound shy. I think it was just one of the triple-double, because in the stadium, we were all cheering for Peyton Pritchard. He almost got the triple-double at the very end. And it was just cool because he was by far the best player on the court. Well, that's our 7th or 8th best player on this team. The reason why I bring this up is maybe the Celtics record is so great because the teams we're playing against are horrible and we're so deep. And now when we get into the playoffs, the intensity is going to pick up. The top 5 guys for other teams are going to play a lot harder. And playoff Jimmy Butler. And maybe the Celts will end up struggling. It is a possibility. But I will tell you, I sent this text to my brother Dave yesterday. It's like, the Celtics have been gifted the easiest path to the Eastern Conference Finals. It is embarrassing how things worked out. Because I've been sitting here going, I want to take on all comers. I don't want to duck anybody. I'm not hoping to play any specific team in any specific round. I don't want the easiest way. I want it to be tough. Yet, the Celtics are going to, in all likelihood, end up with a first-round matchup against the Miami Heat. And you might say, well, that's not going to be easy. Jimmy Butler, playoff Jimmy, look at what he's done. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be easy. It's going to be easy. Celtics are going to take care of Miami so easy. And then in the second round, they're going to be playing against who? Orlando or the Cleveland Cavaliers? That's the 4-5 seeds. Orlando or Cleveland? How lucky is this Celtics team? The Knicks and 76ers will likely square off in the first round. What a series that's going to be. The Knicks are playing awesome. And you know the 76ers are my danger team. Look out for them. But even on the other side, it's going to be the Indiana Pacers against the Bucks. The other four, Indiana, the Bucks, the 76ers, and the Knicks. Those are the four best teams in the Eastern Conference after the Celtics. Or maybe blended in. The five of them together are the five best teams in the East. And the Celts won't have to play any of them. Now, it's not a guarantee, I suppose, because the 76ers do play against Miami here over the next couple days. And I saw 76ers are only favored by 4.5 at home. Interesting. That number's interesting, isn't it? Because I think it should be higher. And here's the reason why, and why I say if we do, in fact, play Miami in the first round, why it will be a cakewalk for the Celtics is, remember back to last year when the Celts played Miami, and we talked about this a little bit on Friday. Caleb Martin was the MVP of that Eastern Conference Finals series last year. He could not miss against the Celtics. Gabe Vincent was the other guy my brother Dave was trying to think of as we left you all on Friday. He was hot as a firecracker all series. Gabe Vincent. He's no longer there. He's on the Lakers now. You got Max Strus was making threes for Miami last year. He's on Cleveland now. That's like three of their best players from last year, from that series. Now fast forward to this season, the Celtics are way better. The Miami Heat are not playing great heading into the playoffs here, not at all. And you could say, oh, well, it's going to be different. You know, last year was this and that. Listen, the Celtics this year are coming in. We just lost our last two competitive games where we actually, like, tried against Milwaukee, and we got our butts kicked against the Knicks last week. The Celts' focus is going to be, like, lasered in on that opening series against Miami. Miami just can't beat the Celtics. They're just not. Unless you somehow, Caleb Martin comes back to life. The guy's averaging like 8 points a game over his last 20 games. He stinks. I don't know how it happened last year. But it's just not going to happen again this year. Our defense is much bigger, much better. So the Celtics are going to beat Miami because we're all jacked up. We're all focused. Going to beat them. Then go into the second round and have to play Orlando or Cleveland. Maybe Miami will be able to pull off an upset against the 76ers, I guess. Is that possible? No. I say no. No chance. I say the 76ers are just much better than Miami, and they have the size. So then the Knicks against the 76ers, what a series that would be. I think both teams are a little bit dangerous to the Celtics. And on the other side, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to put this bug in everybody's ear. Indiana will beat the Bucks. Indiana scored 150 points the other day. They've been doing what they do all season long, up-tempo. Everybody's got confidence. Young, they're fast and athletic. And the Bucks, you traded for Damian Lillard. Guy's never done anything in the playoffs. Okay? And you thought that it was going to be a difference maker from the start of this year. Everybody was all over Milwaukee. Well, it hasn't played out that way. Then, last week, you get Giannis, gets hurt. You had to hire Doc Rivers at some point, a couple months in. That hasn't worked out at all. I do not see the Bucks entering the playoffs in a positive, like, upward trajectory. So people will still think they're going to win and beat Indiana. Not me. I'm going to tell you, Indiana might make quick work of them. Go in and get one of the first two on the road and then win both. It'll be 3-1, Indiana. My prediction, for what it's worth. My predictions last week were worth some serious money, actually, if you took heed of the financial advice I gave. We'll pick up a little bit on that and talk some Bruins when we return from commercial here. The Sports Machine with Slim. It's 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. NHTalkRadio.com is where we're at online. Ago. Last week, I think it was Tuesday's show, maybe Wednesday, but I said might be worthwhile taking some investment risk off the table, especially in crypto. And I said because in the next couple of days, you're going to see an attack from Iran on Israel. And then over the weekend, it happened. Friday, everybody was talking about late in the afternoon. And, well, I guess into Saturday morning. But the bigger thing in the crypto world, I knew it was coming. And as I left the station on Friday, I was calling a friend saying, hey, listen, I think you got to sell. I think this is going to get hit hard going into the weekend. And so I did. And it did. Crypto got crushed on Saturday. A lot of the smaller coins went down like 30%. And you have people that are in the space going, oh my God, what's happening? Is it going to zero? And the panic sets in. And as the weekend went along, and in fact, Iran did launch hundreds of armed drones towards Israel, and 99% of them were all shot down. And I was paying attention to all this news and watching the markets, especially crypto, on Sunday. And I realized, oh, wait a minute. Like, Israel isn't really going to respond. This was just an attack pretty much for show by Iran. They didn't think that those bombs were going to, like, get in to Israel and do damage. They more so wanted to show their population, hey, we're fighting back. And it was almost like a warning to Israel to say, hey, this is us getting rid of some of our lower-level weaponry-type stuff. Do you want to up the ante? You can. And that's where we're at today. And Israel pretty much has, through show of action, said, well, we're probably good letting things go right here for a while. Like, we're going to respond in our own way and whatnot, but there's no immediate danger to the world is how it's being represented, and that's why the price of Bitcoin regrouped and a lot of the smaller coins jump right up too. And it's my suspicion that that's going to hold for a while just because of the issues with oil and money. And it actually gets me really depressed to a point where I feel like it's a sports show, but I want to talk about it just for a minute because, like, the rich people, the powerful people, the folks that are controlling the government, everything's just about money and holding on to control and power. And even games, like, this is a game to them. On both sides, it's a game. People's lives, the small people, the people that don't mean anything, their lives are endangered. And, you know, people's financial situations endangered. And it doesn't matter to the people at the top because they know what they're doing. They're playing the games and they're benefiting from it. That's what's happening. That's what's happening right here. And it's just a tough thing to realize is happening and know you. There's really nothing we can do about it except complain and move on. Let's focus on the brighter side of life. How about that? And look at the Boston Bruins, which, yet again, this Bruins team proves their toughness and resilience. resilience-ness, resilience-ness? They, as I've been saying, they are for 3 months, and I was like talking to wooden doors saying, oh no, this team's not tough. Remember last year, blah, 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 blah. The Boston Bruins played Pittsburgh Saturday night on national TV. Going into the game, Pittsburgh is in the running for the eighth seed, so they're playing hard. Guess what their record was in their last 10 games? 7-0-3 in their last 10 games, had not lost in regulation. 7-0-3. Bruins go into Pittsburgh. They beat them 6-4. They beat them easy. And I made my notes. But the biggest thing at the beginning of the game, the Boston Bruins, they're showing, well, Jake DeBrusk is going to change lines because Pat Maroon, the big enforcer dude that we got, who's won 3 out of the last 4 or 3 out of the last 5 Stanley Cups, this guy we traded for, Pat Maroon, he's a bruiser, and the Bruins haven't liked him for years. That's what I've found out. Well, he came back and played in this first game on this Saturday here. And Jake DeBrusk and him, so DeBrusk moves lines because he hadn't scored a goal in 7 games. And we all know DeBrusk is like up and down. People get frustrated with him. Well, he goes out and scores the first goal of the game. That's a winning environment in a locker room. The Bruins just continue to have these winning things happen to them. And I just happen to notice and tell you all about it as I've been doing over the last 3 months. This Bruins team is a serious, serious threat to win the Stanley Cup this season. Linus Ullmark is like sickly good right now. He is so, so good. And I know you could look and say, well, he gave up the 4 goals. We were in control the whole game. And two of those goals that they got were just total, like, I mean, luck is really what it was. I mean, he totally was up against the post with his pads and everything on one. And the puck just could not have any laser beamed through this tight spot. Just, we had seeing eyes right through there. And not for nothing, on top of it, I told you, Pittsburgh was 7-0-3 in their last 10. Like, Pittsburgh's been playing good, and they were at home on national TV. Like, what do you think? You're just going to win every single game so easily? Bruins fans? Like, they would complain. Well, he let in 4 goals. Like, that's the type of fans we have around here. And I can talk to the Celtics fans, actually, in segment 3 as I write it down in my notebook here. I will. I'm going to talk about Celtics fans and their cheering at the game yesterday, and I know the starters didn't play, but just this Bruins team, as a fan, you should not be looking at them and expecting bad things to happen. You should be cheering for great things to happen. That's the side of the coin that my head is at. Like, I totally believe the Bruins are coming out of the Eastern Conference. I've thought it all 4 months that we've been on the air. 3 to 4 months anyway. I know I took probably a month in there to figure it out as I was watching them every game. But now I'm there. Like, the Bruins, I'm pretty convinced we're going to go. And there's no reason why we can't win at all if we get there, because we've been beating the Western Conference teams all year. You look at this game here, the Bruins Saturday night, and we got a game tonight for the Bruins at Washington, just so people know. And then at home against Ottawa tomorrow. And man, the playoff picture is muddled. Muddied, muddled. Florida and the Bruins. If the Bruins win tonight's game, we're a point up on Florida in the standings, and they only have 1 game still to play. We got 2 games. So if the Bruins win tonight, we'll clinch first in the Atlantic Division. On the other side, though, the Rangers are up on us by, I think, 2 or 3 points. 3 points, I think, and they got 1 game left. So if the Bruins win both and the Rangers lose theirs, then the Bruins would get the number 1 seed overall in the East. But I don't even care about that. It just, whatever. Let's just play. Let's get it on. As the number 1 seed, let's just say number 2 in the East, though, the Bruins would potentially have to play Tampa Bay in the first round. Which, let's go. I don't care who we play. It doesn't matter to me. The Rangers are the one team I say, hey, that's going to be a tough battle. And if the Rangers win their first 2 series and the Bruins win their first 2, okay, then, well, we'll talk about things when we get there. But I love this Bruins team and what's happening. Andrew Peak, what a great trade that was by Don Sweeney, the Sweeneyus. He is a real Sweeneyus. Don Sweeney has put together so many awesome pieces. And you trade for Pat Maroon. 3 Stanley Cups in the last 5 years. Like, you bring in that type of a winning environment, winning. I mean, he obviously has done something to help teams win. He hasn't stopped them from winning. And the Bruins just have so much talent. All over the place. That Shattenkirk goal made a 3-1 with 8:25 left in the second period Saturday night. This Rister just in the top left side of the goal. Just nuts. The Bruins are so talented. And on top of it, the magic. As I said, the Bruins, they gave up a shorthanded goal to make it 4-3 with 15 minutes left. Then they almost gave up another shorthanded goal. But Omark makes the save. Then Pasta. Well, we win 6-4, but did you see this at the end of the game? This is the difference between the NBA and the NHL. Pasternak, we're up 6-4. He's going in on like a breakaway with 5 seconds left in the game. Like, the game's over. And he gets in front of the goalie, and he shoots a slap shot from like 10 yards away. And I'm like, what? That is awesome, right? He's going in. He wants to score another goal. And what a difference it is between the NBA and the NHL. After he shot that, who was it? Sidney Crosby from Pittsburgh got a little upset because Pasternak actually took a shot while there was still time on the clock. Wimpo. Bruins, so tough. There was UFC stuff, too, I think, on Saturday. I know there was. I'm going to talk about that when we come back. That and the Celtics on the Sports Machine with Slim here, WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord. If you're listening on the radio, 101.9 FM in Manchester. Stay tuned. Did anybody see the UFC stuff on Saturday? Who is Carla Harrison? She fought Holly Holm in the preliminaries. It was free, so I got to watch it. And my goodness, poor Holly Holm. I felt terrible for her. Now, this is a woman who had been a champion in UFC. Had taken out Ronda Rousey, right? Multiple-time champion, I think, Holly Holm. She had no chance. Whoever this Kayla Harrison individual is, my God, you look at her back muscles. I got a text from the pistol, just like, look at the size of this lady. The strength comparison. It wasn't just that Holly Holm was older. I think she's 42, 43 years old, but she just got beat up the entirety of that fight. I felt bad for her. That's what a crazy sport that is, I'll say. And then, you know, to my chagrin, there was a fight. I forget even the guy's name, but he was from Methuen, Massachusetts. That was another one in the preliminary. And he was fighting some dude who had always been in the lower weight class and then moved up. So they were questioning if he was going to be ready for the move up. And I come out of retirement. I bet a couple bucks on my dude from Methuen, Massachusetts. He got destroyed. In 3 rounds of 3-minute fighting, he landed 4 punches. Four blows in 3 rounds. In 3 rounds of 5 minutes? It was 3 rounds of 5-minute fights. 5-minute rounds, I think. And he only landed 4 blows. He was on the canvas the entirety of the time. He was lucky not to get submissioned out a few times before he did at the end. But, I mean, he just had no chance. And I'm just like, what am I doing betting this guy? Because he's from Methuen, Massachusetts. Where my hometown. That's where I grew up, Methuen. And at the beginning, I was like, come on, let's go, dude. Let's get. No, he had no chance the entire fight. Just the guy literally just was throwing him to the ground and then getting on top of him on the side of the cage. So that was my UFC experience. And that was my gambling experience for that. And I said, that's it. I'm not betting that. And I didn't bet anything since. And I'm wondering if I will bet any NBA basketball. I can't bet the Celtics, though. Can't. They irritate me so much, the Celtics team. And it's partially the fans. And I'm going to tell you something. I know I've talked about it all year here. And it's playoff time right around the corner, everybody. We're starting up the playoffs. Like, this is the time of year I've been waiting for. Being on the sports machine with Slim, laying the groundwork, waiting for the excitement of the playoffs from both the NBA and the NHL. And I see how great the Bruins are playing on the road and how many Bruins fans there are in the stands. And then yesterday, as I'm watching a basketball game and the Golden State Warriors win and they're going on the road to try to get into the playoffs here in those play-in games, and I hear the announcer in that game talk about how much better Golden State is playing on the road than they are at home. And that immediately clicks in my mind. I'm like, it's the home fans that are the losers in all these stadiums, except for the fan bases where they're like hardcore fans. And yesterday, I was in attendance at the Garden, and granted, the top six players for the Celts did not play. I mean, I took my kids to the game. Tatum not playing. No Jaylen Brown. No Jrue Holiday. No Kristaps. No Derek White. No Al Horford. That's fine. You just go. You're cheering on your team, and that's cool. But the cheering is so organized nowadays. There's no, like, just rabid, like, let's go Celtics! Like, people just going nutso and cheering and screaming. Now it's, you have to be prompted by the teleprompter. And the music goes, dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Or it's like, let's go Celtics. And the thing goes, dun, 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 dun. Then everybody cheers, okay? As we're at the game yesterday, there was literally one time where one dude, a section over, I hear him. I don't know who it was, but I hear him goes, let's go Celtics. And that's the only voice you could hear. And then, let's go Celtics. And you hear a couple of, and then it starts to pick up with a splattering of voices, maybe 5 to 10. And I kind of say it too. And then a play happened on the court and the chair immediately stopped. And everybody just went back to pretty much radio silence. And I'm like, dude, that's what type of fan base we have here now. We have, and this is all of society, a bunch of just like brain dead, tell me what I'm supposed to do, tell me what I'm supposed to think type of people. That's who's out there. And you know how I know this? Like, just pay attention if you're driving on the roads right now. Look at how awful the drivers are. Like, people's intelligence levels in this country have gone down so far. It's amazing, so quickly. Everybody's so dumb. It's so disappointing as I just go off the rails here on a sports talk show. But you all know I'm right. Like, the people that are listening to me right now, why you listen? Probably because you're kind of smart. Like, you wouldn't listen to me otherwise. What's the point? What are you listening to me for? You'd be like, shut this dude off. He doesn't shut up. He thinks he knows what he's talking about. And then he's lost over 600 grand for life. Like, what gives him the right to be talking about giving gambling predictions and stuff like that? You listen because, well, at least I sound good and I can put my ideas together and back up a case. Even though most times, you know, I'm going to be wrong, except about crypto. Crypto, I'm almost always right. Nowadays, 4 years ago, no. But knowledge, you learn. And that's how on a Friday I'm able to tell my buddy, hey, I think you should sell. I think everything's going down real quick. And within 2 hours of that, things were down 20%. I'm like, oh, there it is. And now we sit here and I talked about games being played. And you see price of Bitcoin down $800 since we've been on the air. U.S. and Western officials anticipate that Israel will quickly respond to Iran's attacks as soon as Monday, officials said. But the officials said they hoped both countries could come away with a sense of victory, giving them an off-ramp that would limit escalatory moves. That's the games I'm talking about. And that's out of a Zero Hedge article I just read here during the break. Like, that's what's going on in the governments. We're going to fire weapons at each other. So we can both say that we won. But let's not go too far. Because then, like, there might be, like, nuclear war and everybody dies. And we're willing to approach that line and just teeter on it. And the society that we're in here in the United States, the people is like, nobody even cares. Nobody knows. Well, I mean, more than 50 or 60% of people know, don't know, and more than that, don't care, because we have no control. We just do what we're told. When should we cheer? Hey, wait a minute. Play that music. Play that music so I know when to cheer. Can you do that, please? That's who's at the games. That's who's the enemy. That's the enemy. Bruins fans, Celtics fans, those people that are the robots there, those people are the enemy. You need to teach them or drown them out when you go to these games in the playoffs. You need to come with an attitude, because those brain dead people, they'll jump on your leadership. If you show them how to cheer and you're not a total psycho in doing so, they'll cheer. You get the people next to you. Hey, listen, I don't think this crowd knows what they're doing. I think we need to teach them how to cheer. Let's just start to do it. Let's just start to yell and see if we can get it on around the whole stadium. Or you can just sit there and wait for the wave to start up. Like, somebody will start the wave. It came through yesterday, and I actually participated. I'm not afraid. It was actually kind of fun. Kids being there, it's like, hey, what's this? Well, you put your arms up or you stand up, and it goes around the stadium, and people are all watching. Because we were up by 25. It was the fourth quarter. So whatever. Well, you can just wait for the wave to come, and then you'll get your money's worth. $500 ticket or whatever you want to pay to go to the playoffs games. They're so expensive. I can't do it. Sit down in front. Sit down. Those people in the playoffs, forget it. If I'm there, I'm turning around and say, you, I'm not sitting down. You stand up. I'm going to be in the NBA Finals or Eastern Conference Finals. People going there to sit down. This is where the country is nowadays. And it's the same people that are out on the road driving the speed limit in the passing lane. The same people. Three or four of them on the way into the office here this morning. Are you kidding me? Like, what is wrong with you people? Get out of the way. Get out of the way. Because we're heading to segment four here on the Sports Machine with Slim on a Monday. Off the rails Monday. You're listening to WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. Weather out there, isn't it? Refreshing. The sun. Look at it. It's there. Springtime. I think right around when it normally is here, no? This seems like regular, normal weather for this time of year. Just was real dreary, cloudy, and not great. For the past couple of months. Here we are, though. Enjoy that time out there. Let's talk about the money side of things maybe for a little bit here, because I will tell you, just there during the break, I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write an article, a message to Bruins and Celtics, quote-unquote fans, and I am going to do my best through my contacts on social media, Twitter, etc., to write up the most incredible fan letter that I possibly can and get it shared to as many of the groups out there on Twitter. Because there's a ton of Celtics fans and Bruins fans. And we need to come together, baby. We got the talent to do it, to go all the way, both the Celtics and the Bruins do. If I had to pick which team I think is more likely to win a lot, I would say the Bruins. I know I'm probably in the minority on that. But that's where my head's at. But I'll tell you, I would not be surprised to see both teams win it all. And wouldn't that be incredible? What a period of time it would be here in New England. Oh man, I can just taste it. I can feel it. Let's get there. Playoffs are starting up. Who do you think's going to win these series? I mean, what, looking out west in the NBA, my goodness, the Lakers, did you see what they did yesterday? The New Orleans Pelicans, they just absolutely destroyed that team. How is the New Orleans Pelicans, how are they favored by one in this playoff game against the Lakers? How, what? What? That's one, I guess you got to be like, well, wait a second. I must be in the, I know they're at home. They were at home yesterday. Like, New Orleans was in the sixth seed. If they won yesterday, they don't have to go to this play-in game. Don't tell me like they wanted to lose. The Lakers, of course, maybe wanted it a little bit more because they didn't want to play in the 9-10 matchup, but that's craziness. These guys are professionals. I just watched enough of that game to know Zion Williamson. And I guess pat myself on the back here again, because 3 years ago or 4 years ago, whenever Zion came out in the draft, I was all over social media and I was telling everybody, I would take Ja Morant over Zion. I would not draft Zion Williamson. He's going to get hurt. I don't think he'll have a long career. And I think Ja Morant is going to be awesome. Now, fast forward to current day, and Ja Morant's out of the league, suspended, hurt, and he's obviously like a hoodlum. Like, this dude is not a good character. But he's been out off of his team here, and now his team, the Memphis Grizzlies, has a chance. He's been out like for more than half of the season. They have a chance to maybe get like the number one pick overall or a top three pick. So by like its process of elimination, actually Ja Morant has been better than Zion, because New Orleans signed Zion to this big monster contract, right? And he's over there, and they're the sixth seed. Oh no, they're not. They lost, so they're the seventh seed, and he's never gonna win anything in the NBA and is never going to be anywhere close to winning anything. So I'd rather have drafted Ja Morant, because at least you'll be able to go back into the cesspool of like hoping you hit on the lottery to actually turn your team around. And Memphis is there now. So Ja Morant has been the superior draft pick. Zion Williamson, he's just not an aggressive, like, he's too lazy. When he plays basketball, he is way too lazy. I'm not going to say he's not athletic, not fast enough. He's just too lazy, and it becomes a mental thing for him where he has to think to not be lazy. You never want that out of your best player. I watched that yesterday against the Lakers. Like, dude, he gets beat back door so easily. So easily. I mean, it's unacceptable, truly. How are the Pelicans favored by one against the Lakers? I don't see this at all. I think the Lakers have to win that game and win it easily. I mean, you look at the other side, Golden State on the other play-in game out there in the West, Golden State's favored by 2.5 against the Kings. The Kings are at home, right? How the heck's Golden State favored by 2.5 and the Pelicans are favored by 1? Yikes. Golden State, they must obviously think they're going in to beat Sacramento. If they don't, they're going home. The loser of that game goes home, Golden State and Sacramento. I got to go with Golden State, but we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised to see Sacramento win, because Golden State, they ain't been heading in the right direction necessarily either. I know they're playing well here at the end, yes. But if I'm going to count out the Bucks as far as how things looked at the preseason and expectations, nobody thought Golden State was going to be the 12 seed or 10 seed going into the playoffs in the West. Yet here they are, going to play the Kings in a one-game elimination tournament. In the East, you got the Bulls playing Atlanta. Who cares, right? Bulls favored by 3. Both teams stink out loud. I can't imagine if one of them beats the 76ers or the Heat. I could see the Heat losing 2 in a row, actually. I could see the 76ers beating the Heat. Sixers are favored by 4.5. I would easily see the Sixers winning that game. And then the Heat losing, and then they go and play either Atlanta or Chicago Bulls. They could go down. Dallas at the Clippers in that series. Who you got here? Pacers at the Bucks. Phoenix at Minnesota. And I will tell you, this is probably my number one pick of the playoffs. Underdog. I would imagine, I didn't see the lines for the series, but Phoenix and Minnesota, I would have to think Phoenix is going to win that series. I just watching Minnesota, and they lost yesterday when they had the chance to be the number one seed, and I guess whatever, maybe it doesn't matter, but Minnesota, they just don't have the offensive firepower. Like, Anthony Edwards can do it, but he has to do everything by himself. And in the regular season, that can work when the other teams aren't playing full-throttle defense on Anthony Edwards. But now, like, you're just not going to have the offensive talent. Minnesota doesn't have it. So their record, they finished third in the West. I don't think that record matters anything. This is what I'm talking about with the regular season records. Am I being a little bit scared for the Celtics? Because I think our bench won so many games. I mean, we're just that much better than everybody. If teams didn't come to play, Celtics were going to stomp on them. I think teams like Minnesota and Oklahoma City Thunder, that's the other one. They're the number one seed now after what happened. And I do love Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's awesome. I just don't know that they're strong and tough enough. And they're going to match up first round against maybe Golden State? Who you got? If it's Oklahoma City against Golden State, I'm taking Golden State to pull the first round upset. I just don't see the toughness out of Oklahoma City. They did win. They smashed them yesterday. It's a regular season game. It's just different. And now they get to go in the playoffs and they're like, yeah, we were the number one seed. So what, dude? It doesn't even matter. It has nothing to do with anything. Obviously, the Lakers don't care. When they needed to, they crushed. Golden State didn't really care. When they needed to, they won their last 6-7 games. The regular season, these other teams, the squads they're throwing out there are horrific. That Washington team yesterday that played the Celtics, our bench beat them by 10, but we were up by 20-something. We easily could have won by more than that. The NBA is kind of a joke. Just comparison, the NBA against the NHL. We have a team like the Bruins coming out smashing. You got Pittsburgh, 7-0-3 in their last 10. Such drama, playing hard. You had the New York Islanders who are a 3 seed. They're getting in there. They're beating up and fighting with the New York Rangers the other day. The NBA, what do we got to look forward to? Dallas at the Clippers. That's a pretty cool series, I will say that. You can be on either side there. Most people are probably going to be on Dallas, right? Because Luka's been playing so great, Kyrie, they were on national TV last weekend, looking really strong. They're defensive players, they're big, combined with, you know, the two guards that don't play a ton of D. And you're going at the Clippers. Kyrie kind of been fighting some injury battles a little bit down the end of the season. That's one I throw my hands up. I really don't have any idea who's going to win that. Dallas at the Clippers. I'm probably going to take the Clippers. But that's a flip of the coin for me. Pacers at the Bucks. I saw game one, Bucks favored by 3.5. I think that underdog Pacers team is coming to play. They are athletic and hungry, and they got a great coach who has coached their team all year long to play a certain style. And we'll see if their style is going to hit in the playoffs. It's playoff time, baby. And I do think it's Bitcoin time. We're staying in for the long term on that, and it's going to be heading up is my prediction, not financial advice. This is The Sports Machine with Slim, WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, and Off the Rails Monday, nhtalkradio.com. Have a good one.